Welcome back to Labor Press, the show about labor and the laborer. Here are your hosts, Neil Tappel and Bill Holfeld.
Welcome back to Labor Press's Blue Collar Buzz here on AM 970 The Answer. I'm your host, Joe Maniscalco. With me on the line is co-host Bill Holfeld. Bill, right now we have a gentleman who really pulled off a big upset in Virginia on December 7th. He's part of the blue wave that we saw where Trumpism was smacked down. He's Lee Carter. He's delegate-elect for the Virginia House of Delegates. And he's not a Democrat per se. He's a Democratic socialist. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I do appreciate it.
Well, welcome to the program, Lee. And the first thing I want to say is thank you very much for being one of the 1% of our population that goes out and serves. Because I know you had your service in the Marine Corps, and thank you for doing that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I grew up in a little town where a lot of people don't really have a lot of opportunity. So that was my way to get into the middle class, was going through the military. So
Lee, let's talk about how you did break into politics, because I think it's really apropos to the listeners of our show.
Yeah, I was motivated to run by a workplace injury. I was installing lighting controls on a job site, and an electrician had miswired the panel, and they'd connected one of my communication lines to a 277 neutral, so I ended up getting 245 volts in one hand and out the other, and blew my back out. Couldn't walk for about 3 months.
Ouch.
I went from workers' comp doc to workers' comp doc, and all of them just wanted to get me painkillers and get me out the door. And, you know, if you wonder why we have an opioid problem, that's part of it.
Mm.
But finally paid for a doc out of pocket that actually fixed the problem, got me back up and walking again in 10 days. You know, called up the boss and said, hey, I'm ready to get back to work. And they said, we have work, but we don't have any work for you because the customer is not comfortable with you on their job site.
Mm.
So that was when I decided I was going to step forward and run for office, to make sure that what happened to me didn't happen to anyone else.
Yeah, so this is the classic story of a conservative that spends a night in jail becomes a liberal.
Well, I was always a Democrat. You know, I was always... actually a little to the left of the Democrats, a little dissatisfied with what Democrats, especially the big corporate ones, tend to do when they get into office. But, it was the catalyst behind me not only stepping forward to run for office, but also getting connected with the Democratic Socialists of America, because they're a group that realizes that the interests of the bosses and the interests of the workers are most of the time opposed to one another.
So Lee, let people know, what does it mean to be a Democratic Socialist? What are your top five policy issues?
So the big thing that sets Democratic Socialism apart from mainstream Democrats is this idea of democracy in the workplace, right? So if you've got a workplace that's owned by the employees and it's run in a democratic manner, whether that democracy is horizontal, where the people are making every decision together, or if it's a representative democracy where the CEO has to run for re-election, what have you, that's a company that's never going to ship its own jobs to China, right? That's a company that's never going to make people work 80 hours a week at poverty wages so the CEO can make $18 million. Those are things that just aren't going to happen when the company is owned by the employees and operated democratically, small d democratic.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's funny because, there's such a stigma attached to the word socialism. But I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't use the word socialism and you just asked Americans in general, what do you think of this concept? I'm thinking 80-85% of them would sign on to that.
Yeah, it's funny. When billionaires are threatened by an idea, they try to paint it in a bad light.
Yep. And they try to paint it red.
Well, Lee, can you talk a little bit more about November 7th election? Try to put it in context. What does it mean going forward?
Yeah, the November 7th election, not only just my election, obviously, where I'm the first. I'm actually one of only two socialists to be elected to any office in Virginia. We were both elected on the same day as myself and Cecilia Walker on the Charlottesville City Council. We're the first socialist to be elected to anything in Virginia since 1916. But in a broader sense, we've got a much wider array of political ideas and professional backgrounds in the General Assembly than we've ever had before. We've got now journalists. We've got, you know, myself as an electronics technician / IT guy. We've got, cybersecurity specialists and history teachers. All these various perspectives that have really been missing in a body that is made up almost entirely before us of lawyers and realtors and retirees and doctors. So we're going to have a General Assembly.
Lee, could you hold on a second? We're getting some static.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill, are you there? I think we lost Bill having some technical problems. Sorry about that, Lee. Please continue with your thought and talk a little bit, too, about how those establishment corporate Democrats, how they view you.
Like I was saying, we're going to have a much wider diversity of professional backgrounds. So we're going to have a much wider array of problem solving skills when we're addressing the problems of Virginia. But also the General Assembly is pretty much evenly divided. We're not sure right now whether we're going to have 49 Democrats, 50 Democrats, or 51 Democrats, because there's some races that are still too close to call. But either way, we haven't been this closely split since 1999. So, we're going to have to find a way to work together as a Democratic caucus. Obviously, I'm on the far left of it. There's some members that are much, much more conservative than me. We're going to have to find ways to make life better for people, which is really non-negotiable, because if we don't find ways to work together, then we're going to be the ones looking for jobs on, the first Tuesday of November in 2019.
And so how is the establishment, the corporate Democrats, what's your relationship been with them?
My campaign was able to put together a coalition of the Democratic Party's base with Democratic Socialists. We had help from groups like Sister District and, Win Virginia and Planned Parenthood and Sierra Club and, the labor unions and so on down the line, the list of groups that traditionally support Democrats along with the Democratic Socialists of America. We did that really in defiance of Democratic Party leadership. One of the first conversations that I had with the state party, they told me you can be as far left as you want, but you're going to lose. So where we go from here is really up in the air. But like I said, we're going to have to find a way to work together.
Talk about working together, could you talk specifically about your relationships with the unions? Because, unions tend to be, they're not monolithic, right? They're all over the map.
Right.
Some unions are much more conservative than others, and I'd be really interested in how your relationship was in that area.
Yeah, my relationship with the union was great. I think they were a little skeptical as to whether a DSA member would actually be able to get elected. But looking back to when unions were the strongest, which was really the Depression era, they were as strong as they were because they had this coalition between, traditional trade unions and more radical unions. And there was Democrats that supported unions. There were socialists that were actually in office. So we're basically getting the band back together.
I love it.
And Lee, do you find that the union heads themselves, because of the way that the Democratic Party has treated organized labor over the last few decades, do you think now that there's more willingness to try to consider something else?
I certainly hope so. The power of labor right now is the weakest it's been in a very, very long time. We've only got, I think, 9% of American workers are in a union household. And you wonder why more people are having to drive for Uber and, people are working for $8 an hour and having to work 80 hours a week. And, these are exactly the things that unions protect us from. So I certainly hope that the unions are willing to try something new. They took a chance on me, and it seems to have paid off so far. So we're going to see where this goes. But unions, I think, are going to start fighting back in a big way.
Do you also see a rejuvenation of the youth movement? Because, I mean, we saw how the under 25 crowd really rallied around Bernie. And do you think that's going to be a major factor going forward?
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially around economic issues, because, you know, I'm only 30. Right. So the vast majority of my time in the workforce, especially in the civilian workforce, has been in the post 2008 era. Mm-hmm. You know, prior to 2008, we had a lot of families where they had a single income that was able to pay the bills. And now, you know, between the couple, they've got three jobs, maybe four, and they're still making less money than they were before. So the economy, you know, despite the numbers that say unemployment is low, the economy has not really been fixed since 2008. That's why you see young people, you know, my age and younger, getting fired up and really moving towards economic policies that empower working people to just make a good living for themselves.
All right, Lee, thanks a lot. I think we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking to Lee Carter. He's a delegate-elect from Virginia. And we'll hopefully have him back on the show. And right now we're going to take a break. And we'll be right back with more Blue Collar Buzz here on AM 970 The Answer.
You're listening to Labor Press on AM 970, The Answer.